Title: Fasta/B Referencing from Scratch in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, let's build a Fasta/B referencing system in Ableton Live 12 that feels like a pro studio setup, but it's completely stock, zero fuss, and tuned for drum and bass mixing, because in DNB, the margin for error is tiny. Your sub either translates or it doesn't. Your snare either punches through the Reese wall or it disappears. And your top end either sounds crispy and expensive or like sandpaper. Fasta/B referencing is how you stop guessing, but only if it's instant, level matched, and repeatable. If it's slow, or the reference is louder, your brain will lie to you every time. By the end of this lesson, you'll have one click or one button switching between your mix and a reference, loudness matched properly, plus focus mode so you can compare just the sub, just the mids, or just the highs. And we'll do it in a way that avoids the classic traps, warped references, double limiting, and loudness bias. Let's start with the most underrated step, picking the right references. Choose 2 to 4 reference tracks max. Don't bring in 15. Pick tracks that match your tempo, so for DNB we're living around 172 to 176 BPM. Match the vibe to rolling, jungle, neuro, whatever lane you're in, and pick them with an intention. One reference might be for snare tone, another for sub weight, another for hi-hat texture and air. One more thing, try to pick references with similar arrangement density. If you compare your clean 16-bar drop to a reference section where they've got rides, vocals, fills, impacts, and 10 layers of Atmos, you'll think your mix is small, when actually your arrangement is just less crowded. That's not a mix problem, that's an energy curve problem. Cool. Now let's import the reference properly, so Ableton doesn't secretly mess with it. Create a new auto track and name it reference. Drag your reference file onto it, ideally AWAV or AFE. Click the clip and turn warp off. This is important. Unless you absolutely need to tempo lock it, leave warp off. Warping can change the transient feel and micro timing, and drum and bass drums are not forgiving with that stuff. You'll start chasing problems that aren't even in your mix. Also, make sure the clip gain is at 0 dB. Don't start adjusting loudness here. We'll do loudness matching in a controlled spot, and set the reference track's monitor to off, not auto. That's just a safety move so it behaves predictably, and you don't accidentally monitor something weird. Now routing. The goal is simple. Your mix and your reference should both funnel through one identical comparison path, so any analysis tools and focus EQ affect both equally. Create another audio track and name it AB Switch Bus. Set its audio to 2 master. Now we need your whole track to hit that AB bus. Easiest workflow. Put all your production tracks into a group called MIX Bus. Drums, bass, synths, effects, everything. Then set Mix Bus Audio to 2 AB Switch Bus. Now set the reference track's audio to 2 AB Switch Bus as well. So at this moment, both your mix and your reference are feeding the same destination. Great. Now we need to make it a slash B instead of a plus B at the same time. We want mutual exclusivity. When the reference is on, your mix is off. When your mix is on, the reference is off. And we want it fast. The simplest method is mapping track activators. That's the yellow on-off switch on each track. Open key map mode. That's Command-K on Mac or Control-K on Windows. Click the MIX bus track activator and assign it to a key like 1. Click the reference track activator and assign it to a key like 2. Exit key map mode. Now you can quickly toggle. That's already useful, but it's still 2 different buttons. The pro feel is 1 button flipping. For that, go to MIDI map mode, Command M or Control M. Pick 1 button on a MIDI controller. Map it to the MIX bus activator. Then map the same button to the reference activator. Now look at the mapping values in Live's mapping browser. Set the MIX bus activator range to min 0 and max 1. Then set the reference activator to min 1 and max 0. That inversion is the magic. One button. And it flips states. This is the moment where your workflow speeds up massively, because now referencing becomes a reflex, not a chore. Now the part that decides whether referencing helps you or harms you. Level matching. DNB references are usually mastered, clipped, limited, and loud. Your working mix probably isn't. So if you just a slash B without matching loudness, your brain will keep picking the louder one and calling it better. That's loudness bias, and it's savage. On the reference track, add a utility. Start by turning utility gain down somewhere around minus 8 to minus 12 dB. That range is common, but here's the advanced coaching note. Don't match by peaks. Peaks lie in drum and bass. One track might have sharper drum transients, the other might have denser sustain. They can peak similarly but feel totally different, or the opposite. Instead, Match by short-term loudness and perceived punch. Drop a meter on the A-B switch bus, not just the reference track. Loop 4 to 8 bars of the loudest part of your drop. Then flip between A and B and watch RMS or LUFS short-term, while also listening for perceived impact. Adjust the reference utility until the short-term loudness is close, within about a dB, and the kick and snare impact feels comparable. Not identical, comparable. You're not trying to clone the reference, you're trying to remove loudness as the deciding factor. Now let's build your comparison tools on the A-B switch bus, because that's the shared path. On AB switch bus, add utility first. This is your mono button. In DNB, mono is not optional for checking sub. You can set width to 0% briefly and see if the low end stays stable or collapses. Next, add EQ8. This is going to be your band limited referencing tool. And this is where it gets really powerful for DNB, because you can isolate problem zones instantly. Make 3 quick presets, or at least set them up so you can click them fast. 1. Sub focus. Low pass around 120 Hz. Steep slope, like 24 dB per octave, that lets you compare only the subs and the fundamental weight. 2. Mid focus. Band pass roughly 200 Hz to 3 kHz. That's where boxiness, mud, and presence live. It's also where a reese can turn into a fog bank. 3. Top focus. High pass around 5 kHz. This helps you judge hats, air, and harshness without the low end distracting you. After EQ8, add spectrum. Set block size to 8192 so it's stable and readable, not jumpy. Use averaging to taste. This is not to mix with your eyes, it's to confirm what you're hearing and catch obvious tonal imbalances. And optionally, put a limiter at the end as a safety. Ceiling at minus 1 dB. This is not to make your mix compete. It's just ear protection if you accidentally clip something while experimenting. Now a really important concept, avoid double processing. If your master has glue compression, clipping, limiting, saturation, your mix is going through that, but your reference might not be, or it might be going through it on top of its own mastering. That becomes apples versus oranges. So pick a comparison philosophy. Option A, compare pre-mastering. Put all your mastering-ish devices on a dedicated track or group called pre-master bus, route that into A-B switch bus, and keep the actual master clean, maybe only a safety limiter. Option B, compare through a mastering chain. If you want that, put the chain on A-B switch bus instead of the master. That way both your mix and your reference pass through the same monitoring chain. It's not perfect because the reference is already mastered, but at least your comparison path is consistent. The rule is, whatever processing your mix goes through during comparison, your reference should experience an equivalent path. Consistency beats confusion. Now let's make this actually useful in an arrangement-based DNB workflow. In arrangement view, make locators, intro, build. Drop 1 first 8, drop 1 full 16, break, drop 2. That way you can jump to the exact moments you care about. Then do this. Loop the first 8 bars of your drop. Flip a slash B every 2 to 4 bars, not every 30 seconds. Short loops keep your ears honest. And here's the mindset shift. Every a slash B flip should answer a question. Is my snare too quiet? Is my sub too loud or too unstable? Is my reese too wide in the low mids? Are my hats harsh around 8 to 10k? If you don't have a question, you're not referencing, you're just vibing. And vibing is fine, but it doesn't fix mixes. Now let's cover common mistakes so you don't sabotage yourself. Mistake 1. Not level matching. Fix is utility gain on the reference, match to short-term loudness and perceived punch. Mistake 2. Leaving warp on. Fix is warp off unless you truly need tempo lock. Mistake 3. Referencing the wrong section. Compare drop to drop, not your drop to their breakdown. Mistake 4. Comparing while your mix is clipping. Leave headroom. A good target is peaks around minus 6 dBFS on your premaster. If your mix is slamming into zero, you're going to make bad decisions. Mistake 5. Switching constantly without committing to decisions. The cure is to write down conclusions. Which brings us to a coach habit that changes everything. The decision log. Create a little notes area inside Live. Easiest way, make a blank MIDI clip and type notes in the clip name or clip text field, or just use a dedicated track name system. Write things like, reference has less 250 Hz bloom in bass. Reference snare has more 2K bite, less 7K splash. Then only act on items you can solve with one move. A fader move, one EQ point, one transient adjustment, one stereo move. That keeps you from spiraling. Now, pro tips specifically for darker or heavier DNB. First, subcheck in mono, always. On the AB bus utility, Set width to 0. If your sub disappears or gets weird, you've got phase or width problems down there. And usually the fix is, keep everything below roughly 150 to 200 HZ mono, especially base layers. Second, watch 200 to 400 HZ. That's the doom zone. It's where thickness turns into cardboard. Use MID focus and compare. If your reference feels powerful, but your mix feels cloudy, you probably have too much sustained energy there, often from res distortion or layered bases overlapping. Third, snare forwardness without just pushing the fader. If the reference snare feels closer at the same loudness, try drum bus on the snare group with a small transient boost. Keep boom off or super low. Then use EQ8 to dip the snare ring frequency. That ring is often around 180 to 240 HZ or sometimes 400 to 600, depending on the sample. Removing ring can make the snare feel louder without adding level. Fourth, res discipline. If the reference sounds huge but clean, and yours sounds wide but messy, it usually means your low mids are too stereo and too constantly distorted. Consider splitting the res into layers, a mono low layer with minimal distortion, and a wider mid layer with movement and drive. Movement that's too fast and too constant turns into smear. Sometimes less chorus depth and a slower phaser or filter movement gives you that animated, but clean feeling. Fifth, top end, jungle crisp versus harsh. In top focus, if your hats sound louder but cheaper, it's often too much 7 to 10k and not enough clean 12 to 16k air. Or your saturation is spitting nasty highs. A good stock move, a tiny bit of saturator soft clip drive before EQ, like half a dB to 2 dB, then an EQ dip where it hurts, then a gentle shelf above 12k if needed. Now a quick advanced workflow upgrade. Pop-free switching. If you hear clicks when toggling, it's usually because you're cutting audio at a non-zero crossing, and the track has heavy low end. Two fixes. 1. Put a utility first on both MIX bus and reference and enable the DC filter. This audio version is shortened for playback.